Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Bones knows what I mean, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
Hi.
And the indomitable Pete Dolson's here.
Welcome back, everyone, to your ears and ours.
Oh, it's the Football Ramble. Of course it is. You downloaded it, ladies and gentlemen. It's lovely to have you with us. We've made it to the
Don't
studio.
Don't put it on them.
So in many ways, you share the burden.
It's your fault. You've spilt soup in your bed. You've got a lie in it.
Yeah. But we'll help you lick it up.
Yeah.
There is a tube strike on, Peter.
In many ways, it's a miracle we all made it in, but we did.
Not
it
Peter. Is... Peter lives walking distance from anywhere we record because he lives in Zone 1 in London.
People don't seem that up to like staying in my house.
No.
This time round.
Sorry, what are you been offering stranded commuters?
No, I mean you guys, because you were locked in it for some time. You'd be scared that you would never leave. That's
you don't really invite people in to stay. You just capture them.
Yeah. Like Pokemon.
Chain them to your radio.
Pokemon never going to go.
Oh, dear. Well, the London Underground is out of action once again. But if you could choose people from football to fill in for the workers, who would you go for? Jiminy.
Well, it's basically like the apocalypse out there at the moment, isn't it? It is mad on the streets of London right now. So I think what you need to get this up and running again quickly is a very hard-working unit. Mm-hmm. So I would choose the current Burnley squad, because they dig in, don't they? They fight for each other, those like guys. That. And to get a whole underground system running with literally no notice, which is what we're thrusting on these people, right, would be quite tough. So you've got to be committed. And also, Sean Dyche probably looks like he suits a London Underground high-vis jacket more than he does any sort of managerial
attire. I was going to say, surely Sean Dyche will be giving out the messages over the loudspeaker system with that voice.
Is there something wrong with that? What's that crackling?
I can imagine like George Boyd just legging it up the wrong escalator over and over again.
You do realise they've just signed Joey Barton?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're probably... Yeah. He's banned, though, isn't he? He's probably banned.
He's striking in his own way.
Well, quite.
He wouldn't flinch at a rat, would he? Barton.
No, he wouldn't.
Is that what you do? You have him as the rat catcher?
The rat catcher! He runs down the tube carriageways just catching rats.
He'd talk to rats. So they're my friends now.
Like Michael Jackson in the music video, or the music...
Ben?
Ben, that's it, Ben. That's the word I was scraping around for, Ben.
We often forget about Ben.
I thought
Michael Jackson song where he was friends with a rat.
No, Ben was just like his pet rat. His
I thought it was a spider.
No.
Spider.
How could he get a rat and a spider confused?
I think I mixed Charlotte's Web up with the song Ben.
Same Charlotte.
Sorry. Yeah.
My goodness.
Never.
We're recording close to Charlotte Street, so maybe you had that on the
maybe
mind.
That, yeah.
So you've gone for the Burnley squad, Jim.
I have.
Mm-hmm. Luke?
This is a strike around station staff, isn't it, and not drivers. I mean, because drivers would be a different kettle of fish. Just to make that clear, this is for station staff, this answer. I've gone Neil Warnock.
Right.
You're narrowing the parameters your own needs.
The reason I've gone Neil Warnock is because I would love to see him standing on the turnstile with one of those little walkie-talkies, just giving out information to people.
Oh, yeah.
Where you going? You're going Stratford. You want Central Line, love. Eastbound Central Line. Yeah, yeah. It's a lovely line.
It's a great little line.
Yeah. I'll go with you. I've got some ideas of what you could buy myself.
I'd go Neil Warnock. I think you'd enjoy it. I think the other thing about Neil is he wouldn't take any stick either. Yeah. If someone was mouthing off, he'd say, look, you've not got a right to abuse me as a member of staff. If you abuse me, I've got a right not to help you.
don't press the buttons. They don't do anything.
And then he'd see John Cross on his way up to North London to do a stint up at Arsenal. He loves Arsenal, does Arjo.
That basically was suited around to getting that quote in.
Well, it's nice to have a little bit of colour, isn't it?
But Arsenal, it's still a tube station, isn't it?
It is.
So we could go up there. You'll love Arsenal.
And Neil Warnock would suit a London Underground uniform. Yeah. Blue, with the vest on and everything.
The
walkie-talkie, the fleece, the hat and the cold day. It's perfect for me.
Actually, he'd be comfortable on every line as well, because he moves around a lot, doesn't he?
Exactly.
Around London as well, he's moved a few times.
And he'd also, hopefully, be able to get out of bed for it as well, referencing his FA Cup fixture this weekend.
Okay, that was a strange one, wasn't it? He said he wouldn't get out of bed for the FA Cup. And people,
well, you have.
Yeah, well, people thought, maybe because it was an earlier kick-off than normal, or not that earlier, and he was like, I'm just not that interested or something.
But
and
I mean, people talk about that in a kind of slightly kind of misogynistic way with supermodels. I don't get out of bed for less than a million.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see or think about Neil Warnock.
Get out of bed.
Let's make that very clear.
I want him to stay in there.
Neil Warnock is a man who has his slippers positioned on the left-hand side of his bed, so when he gets up and swings his legs around, his feet go straight in the slippers. He's also a man who's almost certainly got a tease made.
Yeah, I think he might live in a hutch, though. I think he might have a Neil Warnock hutch.
He could be.
Anyway, just Neil Warnock's my answer.
Neil Warnock's going to cover the whole of the London Underground for all the staff.
Lovely night of sleep in his man hutch.
He moves around a lot. He's got a lot of intimate knowledge of the local area, hopefully.
There we are, Peter.
Well, for those of us who don't live in London, I say those of us, I live in London.
Those of you live in the geographical centre of London.
Those of you.
It's impossible to be more London than you.
Thanks, mate.
Your blood is actually not blood in Runners Real Veins, it's chai latte.
Sewage.
Yeah. It has eels in it.
Raw sewage. The way of getting into the tube is the proprietary system is a little card you get, and it's called an Oyster card.
Yeah.
So Franny Jeffers, because the
Are you
world...
from the future?
Franny Jeffers. I thought you were going to say the Oystons. I thought, no.
Franny Jeffers, because the world was his oyster.
Yeah.
And he could teach people how to use the oyster correctly.
He needs another oyster, basically.
I think he needs another oyster. Or Terry Butcher, because he was a big scab in 89.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. They've got to be scabs, haven't they? Yeah, they've got to be scabs as well. So that's,
he had
that's
a massive scab on his head.
Yeah.
Which was blood.
Well, it eventually would have been a scab, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have been. No, I was just saying.
I mean, nobody knows what was under there.
No, but the blood forms the scab.
It does.
No, it doesn't. Skin cells.
Oh, is that right?
Blood doesn't form scabs.
Well, it's sort of involved. The colour of it.
The colour of it.
So you've gone
Doctors
for...
Doctors do get involved.
You've gone for Francis Jeffers.
Yes.
And Terry Butcher or Terry Butcher? Well, you could chuck in Terry
I'd
as well.
I'd love them as a combo. Terry Butcher's like the Danny Glover and Fran Jeffers is like the Mel Gibson.
Mm. Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, Butcher's a big block. He could operate as an actual gate.
Yeah, he could.
Because they'd open the gates automatically if there's no one to staff them.
Repeat this. I only work this analogy if Terry Butcher is on record as being too old for this shit.
Still angry with Maradona.
Yeah.
I've gone for the Juventus squad because there's a lot of hard work and a lot of success going on in there. I mean, nothing could stop them. 26 wins.
But only on their home territory. Still.
Only on their home territory.
Send them up the end of the Bakerloo. Yeah. To see how comfortable they are at Harrow and Wilston.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Criticising this Juventus rush hour.
That's what I mean. Their Serie A form in the last sort of 5 years or whatever has picked up the pace of a runaway freight train.
It has.
So imagine what in more controlled.
There are freight trains on the underground.
Are there?
Yeah. If you ever sort of... You wait for a train and then a freight train comes past, you're like, that is the most exciting thing I've ever seen
I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You see it less and less.
Okay, right.
Pete Londonson over here.
I know.
There's little rumours, if they're to be believed, that Allegri might replace Wenger when he leaves. So, you know, get him familiarised.
Get him right amongst it straight away. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And it's got me the points.
Yeah, nice.
Outrageous.
Juventus are always going to win the points, aren't they, Jim?
Apparently, if you've got a fucking benevolent dictator in charge. It's like Calciopoli all over again.
Those points towards actually some sort of voice to travel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think I will.
Yeah, go for it.
In my own time.
Spelleropoli.
Now, there were no points dished out in the FA Cup because it's all about the next round, Jimmy.
Knew how it works.
But we don't know who's going to be in the next round out of Liverpool versus Plymouth because Argyle got an amazing 0-0 draw.
What a performance.
Pilgrim Pete and the boys went home very happy.
Stephen McManaman was gutted. Mm. He's absolutely gutted. Did you hear him? He was like, well... You know, they've not opened up at all here. They've kept it very, very tight. It's been very dull to watch.
What were you expecting, mate?
There are grown men crying in the stand with that result. Have a bit of respect.
I love it. I love the fact when people, they're from the bigger side and the smaller side have sort of mugged them off in some way. And that's all they have. They're just playing reductionist football. It's like when Messi and co go away to, I don't know, like Cluj or something in the Champions League and the Cluj get a point and they're like, well, all they do is just defend.
Not playing properly.
What do you expect?
I think it's the first time, it's either the first time a League Two team has got a draw away to a top flight team in the Premier League. In the top flight. Or Liverpool. Either a top flight or Liverpool. Right. Since 1974.
Wow.
McManaman's not having it.
Well, they were in the day.
It says before you were born, Steve. Yeah, probably not, but you know what I mean.
Other teams were probably playing properly, Luke.
Yeah, they were. They were.
You should have just said, is it always pleasing to get a clean sheet at Anfield, Steve? Like, stroke his ego a bit. Yeah. Well, it is, yeah. So they've done well, though, haven't they? Well, I suppose they have.
But you know that... The way that Plymouth played, actually, in the second half, I don't think you could use the word expansive, but they were certainly more expansive than they were in the first.
They were expanding.
They were. They had no option but to expand. They were so
compressed.
But in the second half, they definitely tried to move around a little bit more. And I thought, I was just really impressed with how they went about it. Fine, it's not. The thing is, BT Sport choose that game to play. Mm. They choose that game to show.
Yeah.
And then they chose that game probably knowing fairly well how Plymouth were going to set up. And then they moaned about how Plymouth were going to set up.
McManaman wasn't in the choosing of the game.
No, but they don't have a divine right to tell them how to play as a punditry team.
Many ways to win a football match or get a replay.
But it's really the only option they had, isn't it? Especially with the team Liverpool put out. Even though it was a very, very young team, you know, like it would have been tempting to think, you know, this maybe isn't full of the stars that you'd get in the Premier League. Maybe we should be a bit more expansive. But that probably would have been a mistake because, Liverpool still caused them problems.
I do think whenever a team puts out such a young team as Liverpool did, and it was the youngest team Liverpool have ever put out, No, everyone's on trial, so nobody wants to lose the ball.
Exactly.
So nobody wants to put in a penetrative pass. Everyone just wants to just play triangles. So you're going to get a slightly underwhelming performance. And that's what happened with Klopp's Liverpool. Klopp knew full well that was going to be the case, but I think he was just hoping to nick a goal somewhere.
He
didn't get it, so he's got a replay, which is annoying. So
They still had 28 shots. It's not like they were... Do you know what it reminded me of? Having said that, it reminded me a bit of England trying to break down a poor team at a tournament.
Yeah.
It had a lot of the hallmarks of that. They didn't move the ball wide enough, quickly enough. They didn't switch the play quick enough. They weren't ping the ball around. Mm. They were giving Plymouth a lot of time to regroup. And, you know, and Sonny Bradley, who was probably Plymouth's best player, the centre-back for them, he was at Portsmouth for a while. He was at Portsmouth for a season. He was very highly rated. I was very upset to see him go, actually. And he was being suited he was being chased by a lot of teams, I think, in the Championship. And he ended up going to Crawley, quite bizarrely. I'm not sure why he went there. But he was being chased by a lot of big teams. And he was excellent for Plymouth. He's probably one of the best defenders in League Two. So, yeah. I mean... And that sort of muck and bullets defended. They can put 45 crosses into the box every game if they want.
He's Sonny Bradley them away with his mouth.
He'll eat them up. He will eat them
up. Some of the crossing was pretty shonky.
Well, it's going to be... I mean, these are players who are sort of learning their trade, aren't they? I thought Alexander-Arnold was decent. I thought Ajaria was good. I thought they linked up quite well. But they didn't move the ball anywhere near quickly enough. And regardless of everything that's been said, they should have still won the game.
What I find funny, though, is when... I mean, obviously, McManaman's annoyed because he supports Liverpool. Fair enough, he played for them for many years and so on and so forth. He wasn't complaining when Liverpool dug in against AC Milan in the Champions League final. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just...
It's all relative, isn't it?
Exactly.
I think maybe his disappointment... I think his disappointment tied in with the fact that these are the stars of tomorrow, according to Klopp. You know, I think when you see your B team or your youth team... you know, dig out a 0-0 against a League Two side, you're sort of like, oh man, I expected us to absolutely destroy them and write some lovely headlines.
They also should have done better because these days the laws of the game are a lot more tight, and so you don't... The things that would have been strengths to a League Two side or a fourth tier side maybe 15 years ago, i.e. they're physical, they're strong, they'll work really hard, they'll kick you around, and those younger players wouldn't have been as used to that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really happen as much now because there's a lot more protection from referees, especially when the game's on TV and all that kind of stuff. So Liverpool really should have done better. And you're right in what you say. It was a shop window for them. It was for those players to show that they deserve a place in a very, very good team. And maybe not that many of them did that.
Do you think that those same players will get a chance in the replay?
I think he'll probably go again. I think the league campaign's the most important thing for Klopp, and I think he'll probably just do the same thing again.
Yeah, it was good to see Joe Gomez back, by the
absolutely
way.
Absolutely right. Yeah, the point is, obviously, with McManaman, it's like, don't have a go at the side who are a few divisions below the way they're defending. But Wycombe Wanderers, they found themselves in the next round of the Cup. They beat Stourbridge 2-1. Oh, they were close.
Late for Akinfenwa.
Stourbridge nice was header. So close to a replay. Yeah, the beast, Akinfenwa.
This is news to no one, but... I mean, what a unit.
Yeah.
You don't really see him that often. I'm just struck by how massive the man is every time. He almost looks like a sort of like an American footballer.
But he's a bodybuilder.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've had this argument before, and I still think his BMI is well over what a footballer should be. What strength or not strength?
I think there's a fair amount of people probably, I assume, obviously he's a bit old, long in the tooth now, but back in the day there's a fair amount of people who would have thought, you've obviously got ability... And you've got a good football brain for a striker. If you were a bit slimmer and a bit
more you can still have strength.
But you'd probably play at a high level.
Well, it's the equivalent of Peter Crouch playing rugby or something. It just wouldn't look right.
But don't you think that he has got too much muscle mass for a footballer?
Yeah, I don't think. But you look at his muscle mass and you look at his BMI is way too high. There's not a huge amount of definition there. It's bulk.
But Crouch has got no choice about his physical appearance.
But that's what what Jim's saying there is, to see him, it does look a bit odd because I think we're all agreeing that kind of size of the man, as you say, that muscle bulk surely hinders him ultimately.
Because it's been discussed a million times before. I don't think we need to go into masses of detail about it.
No, I think we do, Peter.
let's do some pull-ups.
Yeah. so you can do the best Akinfenwa impression.
who can bench press me, kiss?
Yeah. Let's all try and tear a phone book in half with bare hands.
It was gutting for Stourbridge, obviously. And what I love about this is, obviously, Wycombe getting to the next round of the Cup is a big deal.
Yeah.
But in light of Stourbridge not getting there, the neutrals are going to be a little bit disappointed. But Gareth Ainsworth, the Wycombe manager, said, either club being in the fourth round is a fairy tale.
It's definitely the shittier of the fairy tales. It's Sleeping Beauty, isn't it?
I would agree. It's not as good a fairy tale. Yeah. But Wycombe were are historically a non-league team as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they're only really...
When you say historic, I mean, Manchester City historically aren't champions and they're still challenging for the league title.
But Wycombe Wanderers, in terms of the size of club,
yes.
they're only really a league club because of Martin O'Neill doing like performing wonders for them in the mid-90s.
Okay.
And then they've had a lot of issues being able to financially sustain a league club in that area of the country. And
Okay, I take the. I do take the.
I mean, you have to judge them on the things they've done. I mean, like 20 years ago, they were a non-league team, pretty much. So, I mean, they've done very well. They shouldn't be penalised for that.
I think they should be penalised for Ainsworth's hair, because he's got Premier League hair. That's the problem there, I think.
He's had it for a while, though. I mean,
he's always had that hair, yeah.
Very stylish. Yeah.
But I remember Wickham getting to the semi-final. 2001?
Was that not the League Cup, though?
They were beaten by
Liverpool
in the FA Cup semi-final.
Was that FA Cup?
Yeah, did they beat Leicester in the quarter-final? I think they did.
Oh, with
Roy Essendo
Sanchez
scored.
Was in charge.
Yeah. Roy Essendo.
Yeah. I'm
pretty sure that was the FA Cup, mate, yeah.
Got him on teletext or something.
Yeah, that's the rumour.
Yeah, I think Essendo, that might be the first mention of him in like 5 years on this show.
Might be. He has been mentioned before, though. He is textbook ramble, Roy.
Is he?
Arsenal squeezed into the next round. They got a very, very good record in the third round, Arsenal. Mm. And it was not as comfortable as they would have liked.
No, squeeze is exactly the word, isn't it? Dreadful in the first half.
I was fuming with him in the first half. Mm. Absolutely fuming. I'm not even a fan. I was fuming with him.
Oh, they'll do that to you, mate.
Imagine how Jim feels.
Imagine actually supporting them.
How
you'll live at least a decade longer than me for that alone.
I will not, for a lot of other reasons. But you know that, like, watching them, they seem just so listless. It's not a crime to be like, you know, beaten or whatever. I know they weren't beaten, but you understand what I mean. Preston had so many chances to go two or three ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there was one that was so clear.
Yeah, it was. That's absolutely right.
The one that was fizzed along the box, and I forget the name of the striker, but he'll be kicking himself even now that he didn't finish it. It seemed like, I don't know, maybe Maitland-Niles at right back wasn't having the easiest of times because, you know, he's not used to playing in the first team very much, and it felt like there was no one in there to kind of help him at times, and just nobody in the first half stepped up and sort of took it by the scruff of the neck and calmed it down.
Yeah.
Because Preston made it chaotic, and Arsenal sometimes, they feed into that. You know, there's this sense that, we blow games in really stupid, embarrassing way. You know, it's happening again, and you need someone to calm it down. And, you know, I guess credit to them because, you know, they sorted it out during the half-time break.
But Jim, what you're saying there is you need a leader on the pitch.
But how many times have
we said this about Arsenal? And it goes back to something that you said time and time again, Luke, that Arsenal are basically a mirror image of their manager, Arsene Wenger.
Mm. Bear in mind, we are saying this after a victory, though. So they did turn it around. They did step up.
A couple of points. Like, one is that, it makes me sound like a real, like, Little England, this sort of unthinking sort of football pundit, I guess, which maybe I am, I don't know.
They earn too much money?
But they should.
Too many foreigners,
Yeah, there's too many foreigners in the game. No, that they don't seem to want to take responsibility. And they seem to look around quite a lot for people to take responsibility, and no one wants to do it. And the second point, what you said about Arsenal there is, like, Preston made it chaotic, or I think it was you who said it, Marcus. Well, the reason Preston made it chaotic is because they knew that would be the most desirable way of going about getting potentially getting a successful result. And the Wenger thing is a completely truism as well. I mean, like, when was the last time he improved a player? When was the last time Arsene Wenger improved a player? It doesn't happen. I mean, if it happens at all, I'll be surprised. It doesn't happen very often.
I don't know. It depends. I mean, depends.
So he hasn't brought through his own system because obviously no one else has.
Yeah, Hector Bellerin would be the example of that.
I mean, getting a player in, I mean, improving. Fine, a player is naturally going to improve.
The things you used to do with Henri, Bergkamp, the people that were in the doldrums a little bit. Not doldrums, but you know what I mean?
He hasn't done that for years. I mean,
that's true.
Jim, a player who comes for a youth team, like Bellerin, is going to improve. I mean, he's going to improve as he gets older.
I thought that was the point you were making.
No, the point is, like,
he gets
an Özil, and Özil, you know, with a good manager, would be a world beater, but he's just so inconsistent. You know, and that's because he's a mirror image of the manager. The manager's completely listless. Hmm. Anyway, we don't want to talk about Arsenal, it's boring.
No, but one little positive, well, definite positive, was that Danny Welbeck featured. So
he did. It's good to see him back.
Lucas Perez's flick back from Giroud was delicious.
Delicious.
Seeing more of Perez, and I'm liking it.
Before we go to an ad break, there was a giant killing at Stoke. Wolves 2.
Yeah.
Stoke nil.
So
Stoke
that makes
nil,
it sound
two.
Like they sacrificed Peter Crouch at the end of the game.
A lovely free kick from Doherty caused the upset. Costa got the goal as well. Roughly 6 years since Wolves last won an FA Cup tie, which was in 2011, which was the same year Stoke reached the final.
That must be so irritating when a club goes on a run like that.
But what a way to end that run.
There was a lot of very angry Stoke fans on the internet.
There was. There's talk of Hughes' his future Hughes being
shocked,
discussed.
Yeah. What I love is when a manager goes a little, maybe a touch too far in the post match. So Paul Lambert has got a great win.
Yeah.
He's taken Wolves to Stoke, Premier League club.
You shouldn't have done the caterpillar, mate.
Is he talking about New Year's honours list?
Yeah, right. He's linking himself to, well, the Scotland job. Yeah. I don't, and that's fair. And they've got a great win. And their goalkeeper was magnificent. Carl Ikemi, I think it's pronounced, in goal for Wolves was superb. But, you know, had to make a lot of saves. And Lambert saying at the end of, after the game, well, we could have been 2 or 3 nil up before they scored and all this kind of stuff. And I just think, well, maybe you could have, but you could have lost that game 4-2. You know,
just, that's the difference in the perception, isn't it, when you're giddy off a win like that.
But fair play, and he deserves it.
Yeah, no,
it was a great win. We're going to talk more FA Cup and do some emails after this.
Watch yourself, it's the Ramble Boys, chucking out the banks, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts, because they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Peter Donaldson, what on earth have you got in your hand?
No, the other hand.
Yeah. Phew! Got a couple of emails. I'll start with you. Just a couple of... messages.
Clear your throat, mate.
Messages. Yeah. Just call it messages. Yeah. Still ill from New Year's. Simon Ponting. Hello, Simon. As a Liverpool fan, I missed the second half of the Plymouth game, but I was wondering how we didn't score at all in the game against a League Two side. Then I listened to the FA Cup preview show on the way to uni this morning, realised the bet of the week was both teams to score.
Yeah.
It all makes sense.
You're
now.
Welcome.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that, Mr. McManaman.
And what we meant was both teams to draw.
Sorry, Mr. McManaman, and also prostate cancer as well. Hello to Dale as well. Hello from Paris. I just want to make sure you were aware that Dr. Mario was once again sent off this week after being punched in the face. Also, his back-heeled cushion... Keegan-esque, you might
say.
Also, his back-heeled cushion ball set that absolute pillock plea up for a disgraceful attempt on goal was absolutely sublime.
So he got sent off again?
He got sent off again.
I missed that. I didn't see that.
Have you seen... I think it's their home shirt. The knee shirt is a very busy shirt.
Yeah,
I don't
like the French ones. I sort of like it though. It's strangely exotic and weird.
I'm sure you guys will agree with me. The busiest shirts, as far as I've seen on the market,
Brazilian,
Mexican,
South American,
South American.
Yeah.
Mexican.
Yeah. Okay,
just
right.
Every spare bit of space has got an advert on it.
I love that.
Yeah, it looks quite cool. Yeah,
go on in.
Yeah, you might as well. Do you know what I mean? You might as well.
Formula One cars sometimes.
Jake Street says, "Hi guys, love the show." We don't usually say that. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I hate the show. Says Jake. Just wanted to share the abomination, which is Runcorn's new mascot being a six corn on the cob named simply named simply but awfully Ron Corn. Is there a possible award for the worst mascot? He's definitely up there along with Partick Thistle something.
That's got some style.
We'll be talking about the City Gent a little while ago.
Yeah, you always talk about the City Gent.
You're obsessed with the City Gent.
You've got a few weeks, Jim. You're not more mentioning the City Gent.
Wean yourself up with Ron Corn. Ron Corn.
So Ron Corn's mascot is called Ron Corn. They're not sponsored by any sort of like Corn.
Is he
constantly running around the pitch?
No, Ron. Ron Corn. There's no running. Ron
Corn.
That would just be Ron Corn. For crying out loud.
No, I know, but that's what I mean. Just having the Corn running around.
I guess he does some running at times.
They should be sponsored by Birdseye. And they should grow Corn the Cobs in each corner as their corner flag.
That'd be quite high, isn't it?
The leaves blowing in the wind.
That'd be lovely.
Why not a crossbar as well?
You'd have to gnaw it, wouldn't you, to make it even?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no point in me. I've got a picture of it, but there's no point in me showing it because it just looks like what you would imagine a Corn on the Cob mascot to look like.
I've got the Weetabix mascots in my mind.
Pretty much like that, but a Corn on the Cob.
That's the sort of email we want. That's sort of like missive from out in the lower leagues, perhaps even the non-leagues, talk of stuff that we can't reasonably expect to be across all that sort of stuff. That's why we need listeners for that.
Ron Corn.
Yeah.
Genius.
Do you want a serious one? You've had your dessert. Do you want your main?
Yeah.
Now.
We can't go back to savoury. We'll give it a go.
Thank you, Elliot Griffiths, for this one. Hi, guys. Luke appears to have taken offence to Birmingham's sacking of Gary Rowett. And I can see why from the outside. It does appear quite weird, but he's missing quite a few points, so I thought I'd offer some context to the sacking. I think it's important sometimes to give people the right to reply.
It is, but I think one thing I will say is I miss lots of points all the time. let's not have this as like a year one start for everyone.
You
to
miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Exactly.
That's all we're saying. Number one, Gary Rowett applied for no less than 4 other jobs while under contract with the Blues.
Short career, mate.
He was desperate for a step up and fair play to him, but the board realised that we would lose him soon enough. Better to move him on before January so we could build a long term without him.
You don't sack him. You give him a better contract.
Listen,
he's going to leave, so get rid of him.
Sorry, Gary, thanks for coming in. We've decided that, the far end of the scale, the heat death of the universe, but at some point you're going to leave this club. You thought it might as well be now, mate. I know you're doing well. Off you pop. We'll get someone else in.
All right, here we go.
Who presumably is going to stay forever? Holmes owner. Yeah.
Here we go, Spelzy. Here we go, Spelzy. I'm going to completely contradict your point. Number two. Number two, Rowett reportedly refused to sign a new contract after he applied for the QPR job.
Give him a better contract then.
You should not be negotiating contracts. No. I think that's what we're learning here.
Give me a better one.
If you're an owner of a club and you get like a napkin from the club restaurant and go, tenner, and hand it over to someone who's the manager and they don't sign it.
Big Sam puts it on his face.
I've given him a contract, he's refused to sign it. Get out.
Right, there's three more points. I'll just bash them through. This isn't a personal attack against you.
What's his
name? Literally a Birmingham City fan.
What's his name?
His name's Elliot.
I had the only just started supporting him.
Well, speaking of continuity, the board wanted to spend money. The last time they stumped up cash, Rowett spent it on Diego Fabbrini, who can't get in the team. Mm-hmm. He was the club's most expensive signing for 5 years. We've been a bit crap and not improving for a few weeks, and that luck was always going to swing. You can't get lucky for a long time, and Rowett didn't seem to know how to change it. The board, though, they did just technically just take over, but they have been in charge for over a year. In the background, finally for now, of the four games we haven't won under Zola, two were against teams in the top six, an away game against a team around us, and a poor performance at home to Brentford.
Yeah,
but the games before Zola weren't great either. This is an attack, he says. I just think the argument needs some balance.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean,
he was also upset that Rowett went, and he's not sure that Zola is the right choice.
But, so
he also ends the email.
So he agrees with Luke then, ultimately.
Yeah. I wish you all well and hope Pete doesn't somehow get lost again. I missed him. I wonder how this one got read out.
Is that from Don Peterson?
Donaldson.
Donnie, one thing I would say to Elliot is that... all right, PD. One thing I would say is that, you know, if I was him, if I was Elliot, I would wait for Birmingham to actually win a few games and then email it. And they go, oh, you weren't very clever, were you? Now we're winning games all over the shop.
I appreciate
all you need to do is stroke Pete's ego, apparently. So.
Yeah, exactly. I think we appreciate your email, Elliot.
Some of us do, clearly.
No, we do. We genuinely do.
Are we going to start doing ratings of emails? We're very, very critical of the listeners.
You're just getting the email points.
Call on the cob, 9 out of 10. Elliot from Birmingham, you know.
An actual fan from the team that you were criticising some weeks ago.
I was about to say, he's made an effort. 7 out of 10. What was the other one? I can't even remember the others.
Let's have a look. What have we got? Somebody mentioning that Mario got sent off.
Oh, that's all right. I give that 7.5.
All right. And fine. Simon Ponting, who was upset with our prediction game.
That's a dig. 4.
two.
Right. You go.
Okay.
In my style, you get 4 for even making the effort.
So,
if you don't
want to stick your head above the parapet, show at thefootballramble.com.
If you want to have a swing.
Yeah. Come at the king, you best not miss. Because let's face it, we got the microphones, you haven't.
Yeah, come at the Marlon King, you best not miss.
Right, gentlemen, back to the FA Cup. Millwall 3, Birmingham. I've got Birmingham on the mind because really. Yeah. There's another loss for them. Millwall 3, Bournemouth.
They've just been knocked out by Millwall.
The landlocked Bournemouth.
They didn't even know they were playing.
Birmingham.
It's a great win.
It's a fantastic win for Millwall.
It's brilliant.
Because
a crappy time of the...
Not only because they've beaten a Premier League team and knocked them out of the cup, which is fantastic, but the situation with their ownership and the land around their ground is very, very worrying and should be worrying for any fan of a football club, not just Millwall fans. And I hope they get that sorted out sooner rather than later. I sometimes feel that Millwall is a convenient thing to be beaten with.
They're an unfashionable club with a rather checkered history, so I don't think when things go badly for them and they get a raw deal, I don't think they get the voice that they deserve.
I don't know if you guys are the same, but I've been to Millwall and watched games there, and it's been fine. And I think there are clubs out there who enjoy a better reputation than Millwall who have been guilty of far more egregious crimes, shall we say, in terms of being supporters than Millwall have. So I feel very, very sorry for them as a club, and I hope they get it sorted out. It sounds like the lid's been taken off it a bit now, and everyone seems to know about it, which can only be a good thing. Mm-hmm. And if it can expose sort of corruption at council level and stuff as well, if apparently that is the case, then all the better. But the most important thing is they get it sorted out as soon as possible, because that is a fantastic win for them and something they really deserve.
Well said. I've got a little soft spot for Millwall because my granddad was a big Millwall fan.
There we go.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so it runs.
There's been a club. I think one of the most worrying things about it is. in that area, I think if Millwall no longer are based in that area, mm-hmm. I think there's been a football club there for a very, very long mm-hmm. time in one form or another. If they were forced to move out of the area, there would be no professional sporting institution in the borough of Lewisham.
Oh, it's wow. so close to London Bridge. It's right over.
It's such a densely centre, populated part of London as well. Yeah.
They will have to travel for miles and miles if they need to resettle. Yeah.
Unpalatable.
Yeah. It would be very, very weird and very sort of sad.
Well, look what's happening down the road at Charlton as well. Mm. You know, that part of the world.
Well, London
very,
councils,
very
there are, to varying degrees, they will sell the jewels. They will sell the jewels pretty much every time, apart from the case of Spurs and us. Unless you're a Premier League team, you can go F yourself.
It's very true. But they've just beaten a Premier League team, and people might say,
does that mean they become a
Premier League? Yeah, they don't now. Win land.
I think we should have a big cup competition because of the league system. Yeah. Your season's over after the first week if you lose.
Bournemouth, like Game of Thrones.
Indeed. I'll take your word for it. Howe made 11 changes, and people say, oh, well, they did make 11 changes. Yeah, and Millwall stuffed them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they gave it to them.
I find this interesting. The same way we didn't actually get time to talk about Stoke at any great length, which, I mean, may well be a bonus for you, depending on your outlook. But it's the same with Pochettino's record at Southampton and Southampton more generally. Teams like Bournemouth, so I know Bournemouth may be slightly different because they're only just in the Premier League now, but Southampton, Stoke, one or two of these other teams, I mean, they've got to surely... I mean, if you look at the Stoke situation, they've come ninth, I think, three seasons in a row.
Yeah.
Why are they not going for the FA Cup? Mm. Why are they not doing it? Bournemouth, fine, it might be a little bit early in Bournemouth's sort of development because they're only just in the Premier League. They've got a good manager. Why are they not going for the Cup?
They're exactly the sort of clubs who should have the squad depth to be able to deal with
it. I think 11 changes away against a tricky side who are good on their day, as we saw with Millwall, is too many. It's excessive, I think.
Yeah. Well, Eddie Howe was sort of saying about that in his post-match interview, wasn't he, that with hindsight, it's, you know, it's very, very easy to say that, and he sort of admitted that it was an experiment that hadn't worked out. But on the plus side, quite a few Premier League teams went out this weekend, which, for my money, just makes the competition more interesting as it goes
for
along.
A bit easier for Arsenal.
We'll still get all Premier League ties on the television, so don't worry about it. when the balls get selected.
Well, Millwall are through. They didn't need a replay or a second bite at the cherries. Now, Derby caused an upset at West Brom.
Yeah.
I was surprised because there's another side, West Brom, going really well this season. And you'd think to yourself, Pulis would fancy another crack, a proper crack at the FA Cup, because he was in charge of Stoke, wasn't he, when they got to the final against Manchester City.
That's right.
Two lovely goals from Derby, and Tom Ince's free kick in particular was a beauty, much to Paul Ince's delight.
Darren Bent was great as
lovely
well.
To see Darren
from outside the box, screamer.
And buoyed by the win, who have they gone in for today?
Is that right?
The Nuge.
They've gone for the Nuge. I think they've done the deal.
Oh, so they have, of course, David Nugent. Well, they think to themselves, we want promotion this season.
Yeah.
And who's the man to do it?
He seems to come with that.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Well, now that... what's his name? Is it Dave Bassett? Is no longer around to get teams promoted.
Is Dave Nugent the new Dave Bassett? How are you saying?
In a way. Yeah. Bassett was a great one for getting teams up, wasn't he?
Oh, he was, yeah.
In my mind, he's got about 46 promotions.
It's one of those facts from the 90s that it may even not be true. It doesn't serve anyone to check.
Well, we've had enough of experts and factory. Exactly. 2016 has taught us that much.
But post-truth now.
The encouraging thing about West Brom is that they played, I mean... They played Fletcher, they played Rondon played, McCauley, Phillips played.
Runcorn
played. You know, he was very, very busy down the flanks. He was sowing the seeds for a lot of charges. Yeah.
Do they have seeds?
Don't know. Everything comes from a seed.
Corn,
even humans.
Corn seeds.
Sounds like a thing.
Corn seeds sound like what you get when you run too much.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a very painful ailment, case of the corn seeds. Yeah.
But it was a brilliant win for Derby. My goodness, wouldn't it just. Hull, they got through against Swansea. Silva wins his first game in charge of Hull. Clement obviously didn't.
We talked about Marco Silva probably looking to make Hull very hard to beat, a hallmark of his management. And so far, so good.
Made Paul Merson very angry, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. People got very angry about that, didn't they? I mean, but on the other hand, what I would say to that is, people who get angry about it, is what you get if you do hire Paul Merson.
That unspeakably amazing video that emerged. Somebody created this lad.
The predictions thing.
The prediction thing was fantastic.
Are we ones to be talking about...
No, but it was particularly beautiful the way he went. Right, Jeff Stelling went, pick three teams that are going to go through. And he went, pick one team, they went out. Pick the next team, they went out. And it was just a silent shot of the results, the BBC screen.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
It was so beautifully put together.
At one point he went, West Brom, 100%.
Fantastic. Whoever made that was, love that guy.
We're not having a go at Mercer for those poor predictions. We're praising the video editing technique.
Yes,
quite of that individual.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, you're there to be shot at when you make predictions, aren't you? As we found,
We do it every Friday.
I'm still poking the shrapnel out of my back.
Josh Tyman scored Hull's second goal. 17-year-old.
Nice.
It's great, isn't it, to see a young lad come on and get an FA Cup goal like that and go through to the next round. There's still a little bit of the fairy tale about football.
Also good to have Abel Hernandez back for Hull.
Yeah,
because he's been injured for, I think, about 2 months. So like that is massive for them. If he can you know, start scoring and be a bit more effective than Mbakani's been, then that might give him a sliver of hope.
Speaking of young scorers in the FA Cup, you see Ryan Sessegnon scored for Fulham against Cardiff. Yeah. Can I just disgust you all with his date of birth?
Go on then.
It's going to make you
2014.
18th of May 2000. He's born in 2000.
Oh yeah. 2017 though, mate.
Jeez. Still not the youngest scorer in the FA Cup though. That is apparently George Williams for MK Dons versus Nantwich Town in 2011. He was 16 years and 66 days.
Wow.
Pele won the World Cup when he was five. So, yeah. It's not that big a deal, is it?
I composed his first symphony.
QPR, they're out. Blackburn sorted them out.
I'll tell you, you'll be happy about that. Ben Fraser, guy who got in touch last week, remember? He's made plans for the last weekend of January because he knows his team are going to get knocked out. He's a QPR fan. So, Ben, that is the third time in... No, that's now twice in 16 years QPR have made it past the third round.
Beautiful.
Good for them.
Beautiful.
Holloway's reaction was amazing to this, wasn't it?
I was about to say, Jim, that's the thing. If you do hire Ian Holloway, you're going to find that stuff out after you.
You're going to get these quotes.
It's like being surprised when you hire Paul Mercer and he says some stupid shit.
Yeah. It's almost like they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
But Holloway picked some fringe players to play in this one and then said, that team who haven't played before will never be picked again. Simple as that.
He's just making it harder for himself, isn't he?
Yes, just alienating all of his other options.
You should not be using professional football games in the world's oldest cup competition as a sort of trial and error. Well, I'm doing that again.
They're in the, unless you're like Pep Guardiola or something like that.
Well, oi, Fraudiola.
Yeah.
QPR, certainly wasn't. QPR apparently in the market for Cornet.
Right.
Which is and Hugo Rodriguez as well, which is more their style.
Rodriguez
is definitely more his style.
Rodriguez must be in China by now.
Is Ricardo Carvalho gone out?
I've got a China update, actually. Do you want a China update? I was going to do it in the highlights of the week. China watch, Ricardo Carvalho, John Obi Mikel, and Axel Witsel.
Witsel went for a lot of money, didn't he?
Witsel was the one that we said was... from a selfish point of view, a bit of a shame because he's only about 25 or something, and he just explicitly said he went for the money.
He turned down Juventus as well.
But you know, it's his career, not ours.
Pumps.
And it's also Martin Allen's career, and he said it was the highlight of his career being beaten 5-1 by Brentford. Obviously, Eastleigh gone out of the cup. He said, "I had tears in my eyes as I walked across the pitch, but I didn't cry."
No, because crying's rubbish.
Hang on, cry for goals.
That's blown my mind. Like, at what point does it become crying? Do they have to run down your cheek?
It becomes crying when Martin Allen says it becomes crying. And I reckon some of the other players, if they'd have had a few tears in their eyes, you'd go, "Oi, if you're going to cry, do it properly."
Yeah. And he would have just start bawling.
Yeah.
Naked. And then wet yourself.
Mad dog. Releasing his glands.
The one thing about that type of game, with obviously Eastleigh being a non-league team and stuff, we talk of this in the context of England at a tournament. You just want that moment where you think we've got a chance here.
Yeah.
And Eastleigh just didn't have that against Brentford. I think they were 5-1 down at half time.
The trouble is, when you say about England in a tournament, perhaps your earlier point, actually, when England can't break down lesser teams, not only can they not break them down, they're now losing against them.
Yeah, I know.
If we could have just like nicked it or something, or you know, a bad performance, but you still go through like the good old days.
No way.
Oh, how we missed them. Lincoln were close.
They were very close
against Ipswich. Nearly a famous win for National League Lincoln, but they were brilliant.
They
outplayed Ipswich. The teams are separated by 57 places in the football tier. And I tell you what, it was a lovely bit of local commentary.
Just
lovely bit of local commentary.
I didn't hear this one. What happened?
City are 1-0 up. The shock is on.
Just like that the whole time. The guy probably can't speak still.
Oh, yeah. Man. The second one went in, he shouted, "Horrific defending, but who cares?"
I just love when commentary becomes incredibly non-impartial.
Yeah. You can just imagine like, him twanging his braces while he's doing it. Like, lovely stuff. Cigar on the go.
I think when Ipswich scored, he was just like, and it's in.
Yeah,
but you know, they take them back.
There was a great bit of local commentary in the Middlesbrough Sheffield Wednesday. They played
3-0.
They knocked him up. They had a man sent off, didn't they? Ayala was sent off. Player went through, and I just basically laid the elbow on him, basically laid the elbow on the side of his head, and got a straight red. And the co-commentator was obviously a local co-commentator. They use the local radio commentators,
yeah,
don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
He was just like, oh, that's a poor decision for me. It's like, what are you talking about? He's laid an elbow on his temple.
He means for me.
Yeah, well, quite, yeah.
Oh, I love
but
that.
But special mention for the Lincoln fans who took 5,000 to Ipswich. It's a 3-hour drive, that.
Yeah.
5,000. They're playing like a team. They played like a team who were top of the league, which, of course, they are in the National League. They're doing very well, but they just ran out of steam, didn't they, in the end?
They were close. They were very close. And it was a long range shot. You know, it wasn't like Ipswich, you know, broke them down or anything. But they're still in the cup.
Yeah.
And they get a home tie, you know, all those kind of cliches, financially, will be good and blah,
and
blah, blah.
Mick McCarthy will absolutely hate going to the
He'll be so furious.
It'll
about
be one of those things where everyone will get on the coach and they'll be like, don't talk to the gaffer. Don't go near him.
I'd rather we lost. We wouldn't have that journey.
He's doing this Sudoku in the front seats. Don't go near him.
There'll be times the day before.
In red pen.
Yeah. Times the day before where he's just thinking, can I just not go? Is that acceptable? Can I just not do it this time?
I've long thought that's going to be the next step in the devaluing of cup competitions, where managers aren't going to go.
They just throw it.
They're just not going to go. They're going to send their assistants and stuff. Because I don't know if there's any law in place that says the manager has to go. Has to be there.
It's certainly be frowned upon.
It would be, that's the next step in the devaluing of the competition.
Yeah, the denigration of a once proud competition.
So people who were moaning about the FA Cup not having the magic it used to, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah. That's right. We're going to talk a tiny little bit more about FA Cup and then go abroad after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget the preview show sponsored by Bet365 out this Friday. Obviously, our prediction wasn't correct when we said both teams to score in Liverpool versus Plymouth Argyle.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
It's amazing how many people get in touch afterwards, like they can predict the future. I wish they'd get in touch beforehand.
Let us know.
If they know what's going to happen every week, tell us. You know, everyone will raise a bit of money for charity. We'll all have a lovely time.
You're having a right pop at the listeners this week, Luke Moore.
Harry Hindsight.
I mean, Eddie Howe didn't have it. He had Howsight.
It's true.
To the Hindsight.
Harry Howsight.
No, Harry Hindsight is the new Bournemouth mascot.
He should be playing for Spurs with that name.
Should be playing for Liverpool with that name.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Well, of course, on the preview show now, we're asking you what you're looking forward to or hoping will happen on the weekend. So perhaps you can stick a prediction or something.
Yeah, have a think about that and get in touch on Thursday. Yeah.
We're going to talk about the two Manchester clubs. Manchester City, bit more like it.
Yeah.
Bit more like it from Pep.
Should West Ham fans be worried at that?
Home game in it, mate.
Yeah.
Can we have an away season ticket, please?
But their home record is still better than their away one, though.
That's the eighth time this season they've lost by three goals or more. So that's the sign. And we talked about it in the context of Mark Hughes and Stoke at the beginning of the season before they picked up. They weren't just getting beaten, they were getting beaten badly.
Yeah. But you still think they need goals more than they need better defenders. That's the problem. And if your biggest, and if you're losing 5-0 and your biggest problem is not scoring goals,
just take anything.
Yeah.
Just take, they are scoring goals and they're in net.
Obviously, West Ham's league form has got an awful lot better since the, you know, Bilic won four in a row or 10 points for four games, whatever it was. But that was humiliating.
Yeah, a gubbing.
It was a gubbing, Jim, as the Scots would say. But as Guardiola said, England is changing his managerial style and admitted some of his ideas were not good. And I love that. Now he's come to the birthplace of the game. As he's realising that he's not number one.
Oh, he's torn,
old England is.
He's torn up his rule book. He wants to start again.
Yeah.
Now I'm home.
Yeah, get a new rule book.
He's chucked all those Champions League medals in the bin.
But City were fantastic. You can't
rampant.
Deny. They were absolutely rampant. And you think to yourself, if they can get in their groove like that, and not every game is going to be like that because other teams will actually try and defend against them, then that's really what we're expecting.
It's like Plymouth could go to Anfield and get a 0-0. I mean, West Ham, they're the Premier League team. Friday night as well, the world is watching.
Yeah, but then the other Manchester side, Manchester United, would they like being called the other Manchester side now?
It's up to you, said it.
Yeah, you've done it, mate.
Well, they gubbed Chaps.
They did.
Wayne Rooney equaled Sir Bobby Moore, and he said Sir Charlton's all-time scoring record for the club.
Lovely shinner.
It was beautiful.
He's good for a shinner, Rooney, because remember when he scored that amazing bicycle kick?
Yeah, against Man City.
There was rumours.
It was.
It came off the shin.
Yeah, it was a shinner.
But that control still with the shin, I've not seen it. I don't know.
His shin pad scored more spectacular goals.
It's not that comedian said about Lance Armstrong. What he said, when I took that major, I couldn't even find my back.
I have not seen control of the shin like that since Eamon Bannon. Hearts fans will know what I'm talking about there. But what I loved as
Welcome, gentlemen.
Rooney, what I loved about this is he equals the record. You know, he's the top scorer in England's history, and he will become Manchester United's leading scorer. And as soon as he does it, all Mourinho's talking about is, well, I think Rashford could break the record. And Rooney can't win. Rooney cannot win.
Let me enjoy it for 5 minutes.
Contrary Tony.
You imagine everyone giving it, because Rooney got a good reception for that goal. Everyone's standing up and applauding. You imagine Rooney going, sit down, Rashford, it's all about Rashford. Yeah.
Forget this
magic.
This is the past.
To be fair, though, you know, Rooney gets a lot of criticism constantly. Some of it from us, literally just then. But it's a hell of an achievement.
It's absolutely remarkable.
To be England and Man United's top scorer, I know he's not officially top scorer yet, but it's a matter of time, isn't it? It's unbelievable.
His career, if nothing else, is mugging off Sir Bobby Charlton. Because no one else will surely hold those two records. Not for years and years.
Mugging is coming.
It's a great day at the office for United, because they had obviously Rooney, who got halfway to getting this monkey off his back about this goal scoring record. Martial scored and he looked good. He's had talk of leaving, being unsettled.
Yeah.
Rashford scored and continued his development. So a good day in the office. Not such a good day at the office for Ali Al-Habsi.
The thing is, he played relatively well up until that point. He made some decent saves, but you know, whole day's been a disaster.
What I love about that Rashford finish, when he smashed it in, it was like he just went, wanker!
massively. You could see that's a teenager there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But Rashford's not really like that. He's not of that disposition.
I don't think that human beings generally should be made to remember the other stuff Ali Al-Habsi did that day. When he did
I
that.
Agree.
That's all we're remembering. And that's all we want to remember. Thank you very much. You did it. It's your own fault.
Oh, dearie me.
I love that. That was his fourth goal, right? That was the fourth goal.
Yeah, that was the fourth.
Right, the Al-Habsi sort of train of thought. We're 3-0 down at Old Trafford, right?
Just boot it.
I'll take an extra touch on it.
And then immediately started having a go at his defender.
Come on. You
really can't get out of this one.
It's classic goalkeeping stuff.
Yeah.
Can we also talk just a touch about John Terry and his fourth and great
calamity.
I thought that might come up in the highlights of the week.
Stick it in there.
Why not both? That's what I said.
Been a while since there's been some John Terry based Schadenfreude.
Well, he hasn't played
a nice return.
It doesn't normally stop him because he's often off the pitch.
But this is a sort of slow lingering death, isn't it?
For John Terry's best defender for Chelsea had last season.
This is the thing. Terry's had a fantastic career. He's been one of the best defenders, probably in the Premier League's history. One of the best defenders that England have perhaps produced.
Yeah.
And yet,
how many teams in the Premier League wouldn't take him now?
Well,
about everyone apart from three, maybe.
You reckon?
How good was he last year's season? Compared to the rest
maybe
of the
outside the top six, yes. I think you would find that a lot of players.
You can talk about all the things he's done.
A lot of teams.
You can talk about all the things he's done, you know, and everyone understands that, you know. I mean, Dixie Dean was a brilliant goal scorer. I'm not putting him up front now. I mean,
the point I was going to make is it's a shame when people start talking about people's playing
careers. Sorry, we're talking about John Terry, so we can say what we want.
Oh, okay,
sorry,
right.
Mark.
Not a shame.
I thought you might have lost a train of thought there. It's John Terry's
off the shoulder, I reckon.
But you know, there are skills that come along with being an ageing centre back, which are like obviously organisation experience
and all this stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff is obviously going to improve as you get older, and we can all see that.
Stud choice doesn't seem to be one of them.
Yeah, the problem is, the problem is, you cannot have a defender playing for your team who cannot be left 1-on-1 against a striker from Peterborough, with respect to Peterborough. lest he not only muck it all up, but get himself sent off. Yeah. You know, I mean, it doesn't create a selection headache for Conte because he's not picking him. Mm-hmm. But it's a fall from grace, shall we say. It's a John Motson-esque fall from grace. If he carries on like this, well, it's not going to be very edifying to watch from a football point of view.
We're more schadenfreude than Motson.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I tell you something, though, that John Terry's agent, right, now that the Chinese government have gone, this is ridiculous, that we've got to kind of put a cap or something. Terry's agent should be going absolutely crazy to try and get him a move, especially as the January transfer window is open in this country. I don't know if that affects China.
Yeah, but you can imagine them calling...
Get him in before the government put the clamp down.
Yeah, but you can imagine the agent calling China, the Chinese clubs, and them going, oh, I could probably get you second tier. based on that.
Spends down there, he'll take it.
Yeah. Are you sure that they're trying to sort of put a clamp on that? Because from what I've heard, the government or the Prime Minister of China has actually stated very much he wants to make them a sort of global superpower in football. And a lot of the clubs are doing this to kind of almost curry favour with the government.
It's come out recently, I think, that somebody has gone, hang on, you're just wasting. This is obscene.
Yeah, but get on that train while you can.
I was going to say, get your deals done now.
Do they need any podcasts over there? Do you know what I mean?
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Great.
Our Cantonese is fantastic.
Yeah.
Mandarin.
Yeah, all of the Chinese's. Let's go to the biggest cup competition in the world. It's the Coupe de France.
It's literally the biggest, isn't it?
It is.
Gigantic.
Yeah. It's absolutely enormous.
8 billion teams entered last year.
We had a team in it.
Lille are through to the next round. Help me with my French pronunciation here, Luke.
Oh, Jesus.
It's Lille.
It is Lille.
And France.
It's
France,
Excelsior.
Actually.
I don't know. Excelsior.
They were beaten by Lille. They're from the Reunion Islands and had to travel 16 hours for this away trip from the small island.
I'd like to know who...
In the Indian Ocean.
If people, French football experts out there can inform me, who pays for that? Yeah. If they're a small team, who pays for that? Mm. Is it the French Football Association pays
for
that?
That's a good question.
I didn't see it written down. It's got to be Excelsior.
Excelsior?
Maybe that'll be OI? I don't know.
Listen,
no, I don't know.
Again, people, get in touch.
It was an Excelsior anyway.
Yeah?
Yeah?
You're sticking with that, are you?
They
it's done now, isn't it?
Yeah. They were, of course, beaten by Lille. That was obvious. 4-1. They got the goal.
Did they?
They got a goal, which is great.
So the trip's not been completely wasted?
Not completely.
No.
Dimitri Payet was invited to the match because he's played for both teams.
That's weird.
He's from the Reunion Island.
Oh, right.
As is Pete's fave.
Yeah.
Oh, Laurent Robert.
The dolphin flick, the scorpion kick expert, Mr. Laurent Robert.
The original. The original. Pioneer.
Yeah.
There you are. Marvellous stuff.
Have a bit of that.
Before we go to highlights of the week, I thought I'd bring this story from Uruguay to attention. There's been a lot of chat about Mike Dean and obviously Clattenburg and refereeing decisions in this country and refereeing performances. It's not as bad as we think when we compare ourselves to other countries.
One thing I would say for Mike Dean before you go into this is that there is nothing more Mike Dean than being the subject of newspaper reports for weeks about brandishing cards too quickly. There's nothing more Mike Dean than officiating a game at White Hart Lane on the telly and not dishing out any cards at all.
Yeah.
Not a card. Don't need them. You want me to referee about cards? I can do it. No problem. I can officiate this game in a perfectly reasonable fashion without any cards at all.
No hands.
Love that.
Good on Dino.
Well, in Uruguay during a regional final in the lower leagues, the referee, and if you watch the footage, was clearly drunk. He was accused of slapping a player.
It's almost like a yellow card, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't do that again.
Yeah, clip round the ear.
Anyone remember it would be a punch.
That's like old-fashioned refereeing, a clip round the ear. He said in this...
A duel.
He said in his defence, This is so good. I confirm I did not have a grip on my faculties, but I hit no one. You shouldn't have to deny hitting someone if you're a referee. And then he goes on to say, it's over for me, though. I say goodbye to this noble activity. I love the fact that he's denying it and he goes, anyway, it's over for me. Yeah. You saw the footage. The match was a draw, so they had to have a replay as well. And they did replay the match with a different referee. It was abandoned, though, after 12 red cards were dished out.
It was drunk.
What? Get the drunk guy back.
Yeah. Drunk yeah.
At least he would go through that period where you're saying you're my bestest friend.
God, imagine if Mike Dean did that 12 red card in the Premier League.
Drunk with both power and actual booze.
I don't think you could get 12 red cards, isn't it? Isn't it four? Is it four or five?
Yeah, four
I evidently not there.
No,
well,
like,
if the referee's that hammered, and you just do it really quickly.
No, this
maybe,
wasn't the
maybe he had loads of them and they fell out of his pocket.
Or maybe he just did it on mass.
No, it'll be players on the bench and managers and all stuff as well. I think it's... It probably varies by league anyway, but it's four players
each,
per team, isn't it?
Yeah. You explain that really casually. It'd just be managers and players.
We've seen it.
Have you never seen a game when the red cards have got up to double figures?
I've played in one, mate.
Have you? Oh, dear. It's time for highlights of the week.
Yes, highlights of the week. What have I got here? I've done China Watch already. I've done Mike Dean. Mark Lawrence's shirt on Match of the Day, that was a highlight. See that?
I didn't see that, no.
It looked like, you know, you get those shops. I can't remember. I guess you would call it a craft shop or a craft
fabric shop.
Where they have different ribbons, but you can buy them by the meter.
It's like a clippy mat.
It had about it was like 100 of them on a shirt. it's worth looking up.
Right.
Actually, it's not worth looking up.
I've got a highlight. Got Michael Owen. Being on the pitch along with former Real Madrid men who'd won a Ballon d'Or. Raymond Kopper. Luis Figo, Zinedine Zidane and the great Ronaldo. Michael Owen there. He was only there for a season. He was quite popular at Real Madrid, but he has won a Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
He was there when Ronaldo was presented his latest Ballon d'Or. And Owen tweeted, I thought I was putting on the pounds until I saw my old mate Ronnie.
God. Have a dig at Ronaldo.
As I tweeted at the time, well done, he's 13 times better than you.
Very good, Peter.
So Alistair Norman's been in touch. He says, my highlight is Phil Thompson asking why Hull didn't look towards League One for British managers who know the Premier League. He doesn't mean Phil Brown, does he?
Slash motorbike.
And the thing is, I saw that and it was bizarre. It's like, on one hand he said, well, doesn't he look to League One for managers who know the Premier League? Mm-hmm. Well, they don't know the Premier League. They know League One. They're managing League One. It's ridiculous. Daniel Greenfield's been in touch. Hello to you, Daniel. He said, my highlight was when I texted a mate to tell him that Mike Phelan had been sacked last week, typically an hour or so after the round will come out. That tends to happen.
Yep.
He says, my iPhone auto-corrected Phelan to philanthropy. And to be fair, you can't really argue with that with all the points they've been giving away. lots of mentions for Wayne Rooney matching Bobby Charlton, showing our listeners still have a bit of respect for the man, which is nice to see.
It's all about Rashford, mate. Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. It's Rashford's the future. Mm-hmm. Nick Murphy, hi to you, Nick. He said, 1 year ago I was watching Dagenham play Everton in front of 40,000 at Goodison. This weekend it was North Therapy away in front of 400.
Beautiful.
Beautiful game. I think he's piping up here because the reason he's getting in touch is because he knows I'm going to look at the score, and Dagenham beat North Therapy 4-0 away from home. big win for their promotion ambitions.
Think he's piping up.
He is. Speaking of piping up, by the way, nice unintentional link. Joseph Stern, he says, my highlight was seeing Paul Doswell, the unpaid manager of Sutton United, ripping on a vape thing during his side draw against AFC Wimbledon.
Nice.
I'm too tired to make a pun about the word draw here. You lads are the professionals. I'll leave it to you.
No, we're not.
It's lovely to see a manager on a vape in the dunk, isn't it?
Beautiful.
Why the hell not?
It's fantastic. Mm. That's the end of them. That's the end of the highlight.
I think there's been a vape up there. There we go. right.
Necessary.
Any more?
No.
That's it. That is it. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Don't forget the preview show, of course, at the end of the week. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye, everyone.
It's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.